What's up, planner lovers? It's your girl Sharice, and I'm back for this week's episode of the Plan on Purpose podcast. This week we have Brittany Meadows. I'm super excited to introduce her to you. Her story is amazing. She is a beauty influencer turned planner girl. And when I tell you, I got about 3, 4, 5, 6 wigs in my closet right now that I'm pretty sure I got because of her. Shout out. She started on YouTube reviewing wigs, and now 150,000 plus subscribers later, she is just out here killing the game. Today we're going to chat about how she went from art teacher to YouTube beauty influencer to planner girl, and how she is still using her planner to plan all of the amazing things that she does. Hey, if you like what you're hearing, make sure you share it with a friend. Head on over to Instagram at Plan on Purpose and let me know what you thought about today's episode. Let's get into it. So, hi, thank you so much for joining me today. I just love everything you do. I say that a lot, but I guess I only talk to people that I really like and really be killing it. So tell my audience who you are and what you do.
Thank you for having me, first off. My name is Brittany Meadows. I am a full-time beauty influencer, but within the last, I'll say 2.5 years, I became a planner babe, and that's kind of been my thing for the last 2 years. And I think I kind of blend my influencer background with my planner journey, and it's just been a lot of fun. So that's just a little bit about me. Before I did beauty influencing, I used to be a teacher, and then I did that for about 2.5 years, and then but really right away I knew it wasn't for me. So I transitioned out of it, and it's been like the best decision I've made. So yeah, that's just a little bit about me.
Now, we're definitely going to chat, of course, about your amazing brand as a beauty influencer and all of those things. But tell me first how you got into planning. As you said, you're kind of new to this. How did you get into it?
Right. So when I went full time, I didn't realize how organized you have to be when you are working for yourself. So I was behind, you know, a month or so with my videos, and I was like, I can't keep up with this. So I got on YouTube and Instagram, and I found Kale of a Plan and Planning with Bumble, and I saw how they were using decorative planning to organize their life and everything. So I started doing that at the end of, I think, 2019, and I just feel like it took over my life. And if you look in my office, like, I have stickers and everything everywhere. So that's how I got into planning, and it's just been so much fun. So much fun.
So you kind of came into it. You're like, yes, I love this. It's going to help me kind of manage everything that I'm doing with influencing. Did you buy all the things?
I bought all the things. I have so many stickers and crafting supplies. My background is in art, so this was kind of like a natural progression or transition. So I bought all the things, but now that I'm into it like 2 years or so, I'm kind of more sober minded and I don't buy as much. So yeah, but I still have all the things.
So I mean, that's, we all do it. We all buy all of the things. Right. What would you say that you have an excess of right now that, like, you're like, I don't know if I need this. I did watch a video. I know you were not into the washi tape.
No, I gave all of my washi tape away.
Did you? Where was I? Because listen, I needed to be in that. I love me some washi tape. Yes. But what would you say you have an excess of that, like, you're like, I don't really need this. I'm gonna try, but I don't know if I need this.
Okay, so you mentioned the washi tape, and I didn't know that much about planning. I was watching Kale of a Plan, and she loved washi tape. It seemed like she did. So I bought so much of it. And then I was like, I don't really care for it, so I gave it to my mom. Okay.
Yes, yes. I'm getting all the. Yes.
She has a lot, but yes. I have an excess amount of sticker books, and it's hard to part ways with them. They're my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
They're my mm-hmm. favorite. Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely something that I love stickers, but I've also gotten into journaling, so I have all this like paint, all this crazy stuff. But yeah. it will, once you kind of get into it, you'll find it. So you would say you found, I've stopped using the term planner piece because I don't believe it exists. I believe you plan for the time that you're in, and sometimes right. you're in a time where you need multiple planners and you have all the things, and sometimes you're in a time where like one works and it's a catch-all, and sometimes yeah. you're in a time where you're like, I need all the color and I need all this. This is my vibe. And other times you're like black and white spreads. That's it. So I don't really yeah. believe in like the whole planner piece thing. I believe in, as long as you keep doing it, then that's your yeah. piece, not a specific planner, but the act of planning itself.
Right. Right.
So what would you say that's where you are now?
Okay. I think I am now. And I think that's a good point about it kind of, you know, growing with you. Because at the beginning of the year, I think I had four planners. I had the intent of having four planners, but yeah. I only used yeah. two of them. I only used my catch-all and my social media planner, and that's it. And then like in February, I was like, I don't feel like doing too much like decorative stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. So I just did pen spreads, and that was it. It was no stickers at all. So my planner definitely grows with me.
Yeah, and it should. And I think it works well that way when you are doing what's best for you and right. not trying to do what everyone else is doing. I love talking to planner newbies and being like, don't do all the things, because it will stop you from planning. I think just like any hobby, because as much as we need planning for organization, there are many ways that we could do this without having all of the stickers and washi tape. Right. Like that part of it is what makes it a hobby.
Right.
But I feel like, especially when you get into it, like if you start any hobby and you keep trying to do what someone else is doing, then it's gonna weigh on you. You're gonna get burned out quick, because there's a learning curve to anything that you do. Like I bet you had a learning curve when you really started taking your, you know, influencer life seriously. There was a learning curve. And definitely. If you would have looked at some of the bigger, or people who might have been bigger at the time, because I mean, you're pretty big, we're gonna talk about that, but and say, oh, I want to do this, or I should do this. I think inspiration is great. Yeah. And I think that we should look at people. I kind of say all the time, like, we should look at people for, you know, example, inspirations, not examples.
Right.
Like, I think there's a difference between the two. I'm inspired by what you do, and I would love to do my own thing maybe in this way. But you yeah. shouldn't be the example of how I'm trying to do my thing. Like, exactly. I should just do my thing.
Yeah.
So I think that if there's a learning curve, and if you do it the right way, then you learn based on your own curve and not based on someone else's, you know?
Yeah.
So how did you get into art? Have you always been an artist? Did you kind of just grow up drawing or painting? And then how did that transition into you being an art teacher?
Yeah, I grew up doing art. So probably in like, I think second grade or something like that. Actually was inspired to do art from my sister, who doesn't do it anymore, but she used to draw a little bit when we were younger. And yeah, I just did that all throughout grade school. And then I went to undergrad and I did ceramics and drawing, and I got my undergrad degree in that. And then after undergrad, I didn't really know what I wanted to do with my art degree. So I was like, the natural adult thing to do is to go into teaching. So that's what I did. So I taught middle school art for 2.5 years because I wanted to use my degree. I really didn't know what I wanted to do, but I knew I loved art. So mm-hmm. yeah.
So you got into teaching. What was that experience like for you?
It was, I'm gonna keep it real with you, it was rough. It was,
you do. Yes.
It was so rough. I feel like I got a lot tougher though, which I appreciate, because I felt like I was a little bit sheltered, kind of soft before I started teaching. So I got a thicker skin which, you know, prepared me for being an influencer too. So that would be the positive aspect of it, but it was really, really rough for me. And I knew right away that that was something I didn't want to do every day. Yeah. I love teaching though, because I still teach, but it's not in the same capacity, you know, every day in a classroom.
Would you say that you like, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like you like the mentorship aspect or being able to teach, have someone learn from you. Would yeah. you say that maybe the environment of education and how some of the systems are run is kind of what deterred you from staying in that field?
Yes, that's definitely one of the main reasons why I wanted to leave. But I also wanted the freedom. Like, I wanted to be able to just, I know this is random, but I just wanted to go to Target at 11 a.m. on a random Tuesday for no reason.
Yeah.
I just love the freedom of, you know, not being tied to do something every day. But I love the mentor part of teaching. Like, once I figured out my way of doing things, I really enjoyed seeing the kids grow and everything, but I still didn't feel like, you know, doing that every day was for me.
Yeah. I completely understand that. After you decided, I'm not doing this teaching thing anymore, you jumped on YouTube and became an amazing influencer. I'm pretty sure I got at least 3 wigs right now in my room that are because of you. So thank you very much.
Oh, no problem.
I went out and was like, you know what? Let me just see. And I don't even remember exactly. I probably Googling a specific wig is how I found you. And I love, I'm gonna just keep it real with you. I love seeing Black women in any space do their thing and do it really well. So when yeah. I saw you, I was like, oh yeah, she killing it. And you look super cute in like every video. And that's just, I mean, you do it really well. So how did that start? When did you just, you got finished with, I'm not teaching anymore. This is not my thing. How did the YouTube thing start?
It actually started way before I started teaching, actually. I started my channel a couple months after I graduated from undergrad. So in 2013 is when I started my YouTube channel. And I just randomly started recording videos in my parents' bathroom of, you know, different wig reviews, because I have watched hair videos and, you know, wig content for years before starting my channel. Yeah. And I just felt like I had a unique voice that I could add to the, you know, wig community. So I did that for 5 years. I did that for 5 years before I left my job and did it full time. So it was a long, long journey.
Yeah. A lot of people see the end game. They see where you are now, you know, 150,000 plus, you know, subscribers on YouTube, and you're building your brand as well in the planner community. Like, that had to take some hard work.
Yes.
You said 5 years. And so you got into it when you saw a lot of people who were doing it. And a lot of people will say, especially from the marketing perspective, it was saturated. So many people, you know, that were talking about these things. You said you had a unique voice. How did you identify that? And what made you say, you know what, I'm still going to jump in here anyway, even though there are plenty of people already doing it?
I think it was kind of like I think my age at the time, because I was 22 and I didn't see like a whole lot of like college students wearing wigs and stuff like that. So I just felt like I wanted to just share my perspective on things and how I styled things. So I just looked at it as a hobby. I wasn't like seeing this as a business, because I don't have friends or family in this world. It's all new. Like even now, I'm still learning. It's still so new. So I just went for it. You know, I didn't have really good equipment. you could see the shower curtain in some videos, like, I just went for it. So I'm still can't believe, you know, I did that, because I was, you know, super shy back then.
Really?
I was super shy. Yeah, so it's been a long journey. It's been a long journey.
And you also, too, now I have jumped into planning and you're making videos. First of all, shout out to you and your time management, because two YouTube channels, killing it. I'll be struggling over here trying to just, I've been asked multiple times, like, you should start a YouTube.
It's a lot.
It's definitely rough. But you did that. You did that as well with planning and jumping into the planning community and being part of it. What made you decide, like, I'm going to get on here, I'm going to start this YouTube, I'm going to start this Instagram? Like, I know you love the hobby and you could have just kept watching your videos and filling out your planner and doing that. And again, another market that could be seen as saturated. Like, oh, right. You know, all these people have planner Instagrams and all these people have YouTube channels about planners. Why start one yourself?
I think my first YouTube channel gave me the confidence to start another one. So I was like, I mean, if I'm smarter now, like I have the experience, maybe it won't take as long to, you know, build this brand. So I'm not starting from zero, which I was kind of, but I could leverage, you know, the audience. I could leverage the audience I already have.
Absolutely.
And grow a little bit, but it didn't grow everything. So, at first, honestly, I tried to separate my beauty influencer life from my planner stuff because I was like, I don't want people to think I'm growing just off the strength of, you know, the stuff I've already created. I want it to grow off of my talent. But after a while, yeah. I was like, this is all a part of me and I built that. So why not leverage something I've already, you know, built? And then, I was kind of like, I wanted to share my unique voice as well, even though I was new to it. And I wanted to see more Black women do that. I love to see it. Like, I think the first one Black woman I saw that I was like, oh, she's killing it, was At Home with Kida. And I was like, oh, man, she's doing it at a, you know, a high capacity. And I was like, I just want to add my voice to it, you know. So she's definitely an inspiration for me. I love how she does her content. But I think there's just a lot of unique voices out there. And I was feeling like, okay, it's really hard to get into a new community. Cause I was like, okay, do I have to be super pristine? Can I, you know, do I have to code switch? Can I get tattoos and all this kind of stuff? Because it seems like sometimes with the planner community, it's really, I don't know, like really safe, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, it can be a little bit safe. So I was like, oh my gosh, should I like tone down, you know, myself? But I was like, we need some different, you know, voices and stuff in our community.
That's a no. Like, I'm going to go ahead and tell you right now, no, don't do it. I think be more yourself is what people like. Like, right. I started, like I said, watching you from your beauty videos, but I mean, how many other people are making wig videos? And when I say binge watch, I mean like, okay, what's she saying about this? What she did? And I don't even wear lace front wig. They terrify me. Let me just be terrify me. I feel like I'm going to be the one walking outside looking like five different shades from my forehead to, you know. But even like when you said in that one video, you're like, look, I did this. I didn't have the right color lace. I ain't like it. Like, you're real about it. And I think that's what people want to see, especially when you're talking about communities like planning, beauty, fitness. A lot of people are putting on because the thing that's popular is what makes money.
Right.
And when you can find someone that says, look, I'm going to just tell you what's up. This is who I am. This is what I mean. I'm going to tell you the mistakes I made. I'm going to tell you that I don't like this product. I'm going to tell you that this works for me. This doesn't work for me in all of those avenues. I think people are more, especially right now, searching for that authenticity, because who got money to waste on a product that really doesn't work? But you ain't want to say that. Who got money to, you know what I mean, waste on something that's not for them because you were saying it works for you, and they look at you and say, oh, if it works for her, it might work for me. If that planner worked for her, it might work for me. But really, you're not telling the truth.
Right.
Like, nobody has time for that. So your authenticity is what the growth is. I mean, of course, curated photos and all of these different things are amazing. Like, don't get me wrong. I think what you do, what a lot of people who do with those, I think it's amazing and it's beautiful and people like to see it. I am on the other side of that spectrum. I know sometimes I just don't have it. Like, this is what it is. I make mistakes. Like, I did it just, I did a live, and on that live, I talked about how many, I made mistakes on the live when I was journaling. Like, look, y'all, I just smudged the ink. Look, y'all, I just, and that's where I'm at. It is what it is. This is what it is. I'm creating, and I'm creating for me. Right. So I think it just depends. But I also love seeing other people who are like, they turn the page from like this white piece of paper into this beautiful scrapbook page. I love to see that too.
Right.
So it just depends like where you are. But I think you do a great job of that. Like being you and doing your thing. But that's what I don't know. Like I said, that's what I like. Like,
thank you.
I like to go to your video and click, and I know she's gonna tell me like, this wig tangles, or like, I ran my hand through this. Y'all see this? It's a no. There's some people who like I see on YouTube and they try on wigs, and it does not matter what the wig looks like. It could have came out of a box when they grabbed my basement, and they still look amazing. And I'm like, how, Sway? Like, but you're honest. You're like, I like the way this look on me. Like, so
that's what I try to amazing. Be. I try to be.
Yeah. So you. I think also too, you talked about in your video, just like in one of the videos I watched of yours, from the planner side of things, just realizing like, I am doing all these things. I might have to have, I thought I was gonna have 4 or 5 or 6 planners. I started the year off with this many planners and that's not working for me. And you're transitioning to how you're planning. How does your background in art impact the way that you look at like your planners and how you're planning? Do you see kind of like, I need it to look this way? Are you kind of a perfectionist with the way you do things, or are you just seeing the beauty in it because you kind of have that background?
I feel like my art background kind of drives like the color inspiration when I'm choosing themes and stuff, especially with like composition, making sure things are balanced. It's not like a conscious thing. It's just kind of innate because I've done it, you know, for years. And it's just, I feel like it's innate. And I just really enjoy that we can use the same sticker book, but, you know, mine is going to be different from somebody else's. Like, we can have different interpretations of it. So I feel like it's inspired a lot of my spreads. I did do a lot of like bullet journaling last year where I did do some drawing and stuff like that. And I think they turned out really, really, really nice, but they're really time consuming. And my planners are first and foremost for function and then decorative. So, you know, I don't want to spend like 2 hours, you know, decorating my planner. I have stuff to do, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that I love bullet journal. I tried it too. Because at the beginning I was like, oh, this will be very functional. I can still use my stickers. It was kind of out of necessity. Mm-mm. I don't got time. I can't be drawing stuff. Like, and I can't draw. So now I got to worry about like, does that look okay? Are the lines straight? I can't just draw a straight line. I got to have somebody's ruler. Like, it's just like.
It's a lot. I don't know.
But I love watching people do it though. Yeah. I love it. Watching people do it.
Me too.
What are some things that you wish you had known when you started influencing?
Oh my goodness. I would say know your value right out the gate. And just because you have a small following does not mean you have to accept. Once we start talking about money and stuff, if you can convince a company to pay you something, then it's like sky's the limit. You can be a small influencer and still get paid more than, you know, big influencers. It's all about knowing your worth out the gate. And it took me probably, I want to say 3 years before I even asked a company for any money for my hair channel. And I was, I think I had like 20,000 subscribers or something at the time. So it all has to do with confidence. So know your value earlier, you know, don't wait. So that's a big thing. for me.
Absolutely. How did, when did you know, like, okay, this is a thing? Like, you did it for 5 years while you were doing, like, and then it kind of started really turning into something. When did you sit back and go, I'm going to do this? And how did you make that decision?
I remember in 2016, that's when I started teaching. You know, teachers have the summer off. So I had a whole summer to dedicate to filming a lot. And I was like, oh my goodness, I could do this every day. And I have a video when I first bought my like super nice camera. That was like my first, you know, nice purchase after 3 years. And I was just like, this is my dream job here. I would, you know, create the content I want to create and get paid for it. So, but it was still another 2 years before I decided to do it, because I was like, even though I'm an artist, I'm still somebody who loves to plan out things. You know, I didn't want to jump out the window. So I saw it being a thing in 2017, because that's the year I got married. And that's how, you know, we paid a lot of our wedding off with YouTube money. So I was like, wait, if
I can do this,
I can do that. And if I, you know, left my job, I would have more time to dedicate towards it. So I was like, oh, it's a no-brainer. So I got my husband on board. He's also an artist as well. So he kind of, you know, understands things. So we got married in November. In December, I was like, yeah, I'm not coming back. So we get our contracts in April, the next April. And I was like, I'm going to do it. That was scary, but I was so at peace. I'm still surprised I did it, but it was a good decision.
Yeah, yeah. And even if you had doubt, like when you started to see the numbers change and you started to see like what was going on, I know you had some down moments when you were like, I don't know, like I put this video up and it didn't get that many views. What pushed you?
Honestly, when I was teaching, I was probably my most unhappy. And I was like, I don't even have to be making a killing out here. I just need to make as much as I do teaching, and that's it. That's all I want. I don't have to be able to buy super nice car or, you know, stunt online.
Right.
And I was just like, my mental health is really important. And, you know, this is a great opportunity. I don't want to keep waiting. So I just, you know, finally went for it.
Yeah. It's definitely, you have some struggle times, but I think you keep showing up and that's what does it.
Yeah.
I love the fact that you are so into bridging and having like a community with what you do. I've watched a few of your videos that were like your end of the year, like wig awards, and talking about which ones were better. And I love the ones that you do when you're collabing with other people and having them introduce. Some of those people I found because I was like, I like this person and what they do and their personality. And you had that like idea of like building community. What made you decide to kind of reach out and do that?
Well, early on, I did do some collabs, but within the last, I'm going to say 2 years, I started to collaborate with newer influencers, and they just inspired me, like Kyra Sean and Is That Your Hair and Cassie That Girl. I see how much they support each other, and it just inspired me. Like, I was like, wow. It's just, you have a better time when you have a community. So that's what I try to do now. And you have to find a balance, obviously, because you want to make sure the connections you're making are genuine. But a lot of the ladies I've met recently have been just awesome. And I just want to collaborate with them when I can. Not all the time, but, you know, it's just dope to collaborate with people that you respect.
Do you feel that same sense of community in the planner community?
I do, but I'm not as immersed in it as I am on the daily with, you know, beauty. But I've made a lot of, you know, connections Kenya Doll Plans. She's on the Happy Planner squad. She is the sweetest, like,
isn't she?
And just let's just take a moment to shout her out. Like, she took her squad membership or whatever, and she has killed it, and it just blows me away. Because not everybody does that when they get on the squad, but she has killed it. So she's one of the people that I have met that I'm just like, wow, she's just great all around.
Yeah. Yeah. And on top of that, has the nerve to have an amazing personality and a beautiful heart and a great spirit. Like,
and it's genuine.
Wow. Just really? Like, you gonna be killing it like this and then also be a good person? Like, come on. Like,
yeah.
Cause that doesn't always happen. She's somebody I connected with as well. She's been on the podcast. We've actually had multiple podcasts together, and we reach out and talk to one another, and she's one of my favorite people. So it was Jasmine from Jazz Up the Plan.
She's also just
a beautiful, talented person. And I just love what she does. And I'm inspired by both of them.
Right.
And like one of the episodes that we all had together, we were all kind of just inspiring one another. I was like, this is it. Like, you know that emoji where like it's like,
yeah,
this is it. My mind was completely blown. Like, this is what I'm doing this for.
Yeah.
To connect with people and have community. Who are some people that you're hoping to have more collaborations with? Because I'm here for, you know, Hearts in a Plan collab, you know, spreads, YouTube videos, whoever. So who are some people you're hoping to collab with, if you don't mind sharing?
I haven't really collabed with, I've collabed with probably three people on my planner channel. But of course, I'd love to collab with Kenya. Jasmine, of course. It would be nice to do planning with Bumble because she is amazing. And I think something that's so cool about her is she got her success later in life. She's like over 50. And I think she's out here making, you know, I don't want to talk about money, but she's out here killing it. She's made this amazing brand after 50. And I love to see women, you know, do stuff like that because you can see yourself doing something 30 years from now, you know. So probably those ladies, I think they are my favorites.
Yeah, and it's definitely different. I definitely would check out if you haven't. Also, you're talking about somebody who is just changing the trajectory of what they're doing later in life, Keisha, who started the Paper Planner Essentials magazine.
Oh, yeah.
She's in education, you know, as well. And she started this magazine and I think she's killing it as well. And again, another amazing, amazing person. This community's just got some dope people in it.
That's awesome.
So what is your advice for people who want to get into either of these brands, these markets? What is your advice for people who want to get into either of these markets? Whether you're like, I want to start a wig, you know, channel, or I want to get into planning. Of course, you know, this is a planner podcast, but at the same time, like, you're doing great things in both areas. So what's your advice?
I would say take it seriously out the gate. Like, don't look at yourself as just like a hobbyist kind of thing. If you want it to be a brand, take it seriously out the gate. But at the same time, don't make the excuse that you need the best, you know, equipment to start, because I think a lot of people get, you know, scared and they'll say, oh, but I need this expensive camera, or I need to build my following first and then, you know, do something. My last two videos that I posted on my planner channel, I recorded them on my phone and I just leaned over like a selfie stick and it was, you know, just fine. Like, I would just say just start. And take it seriously, like as if you were getting paid for it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because, you know, if you desire to be someone who wants to, you know, influence or even just have a brand that you're building, then that serious, it's that consistency and that's the seriousness of the business aspect of it is, that's it. That's what puts you in that next category. I don't think there's anything. I think I love this as a business, my journaling and all that. That's more of a hobby because I'm still trying to, you know, get that together. Yeah. But I think you can do both and you can have either. You just got to decide which direction you're going in. So as far as life goes, I know that, you know, you're working on this, you're building, you're following in both directions. Like you said, you have a hubby, maybe a dog. See.
Ooh, I want a dog. I'm serious. I'm getting maybe a dog in May. Yes.
So what's next for you? How are you planning to kind of, because I mean, now we're in a new year. We won't even discuss the tragedy that was last year. But what's next for you?
As far as my beauty channel, I'm trying to expand into more lifestyle content. I feel like that is, I don't know, it's more sustainable. And I'm getting older, so it's kind of like, you know, your voice changes a little bit when you get older, and so does your audience. And I'm trying to incorporate more lifestyle content there and work with some bigger brands and stuff like that. That would be, I have a list. So hopefully I get some of those things accomplished this year. But as far as my planner channel, I want to incorporate more art on my channel because, you know, that's how I started, you know. So I want it to be planner and art content. I would love to be on the Happy Planner Squad. That's a big thing for me. But, you know, I'm trying to get in my head that doesn't make me, you know. I've done this. I've grown my community, you know, without that. So it doesn't make or break me. So I would love to be on it, but I'm not like obsessed like I used to be. But that would be super nice. So
yes,
that's why I am.
Don't do that. Don't do that to yourself. You produce amazing content. And beyond that, again, it's just you're you. Like, and you again have already built up everything that you've built up, just being you. So if you're not connected to anything or anyone, trust me, I had to have this conversation with myself too, like build out, you know, different, wanting to be on different squads and wanting to be a part of different brands to show support. And now my podcast shows support by connecting with people and telling their stories.
Right.
I don't, you know what I mean? I don't need to be on a squad, and it would be amazing if I could partner with some, you know, other people in the planning community, because it's just, if it works, it's dope. But if not, then you're doing you and being you, and hopefully, you know, you see that, especially in this particular community, as just as much as being a part of anyone else's brand.
Right.
I think the way I had to look at it is that I kept trying to push and promote for other people, and God was like, I just need you to chill and do you and promote you, because every time you show up as you and not as an ambassador for someone else, then that's what people see, and that's who they want to see. That's what I think the same for you. So.
Yeah, that's a good point. Definitely.
Thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode. I want to thank Brittany for hanging out with me this week. We had such a great conversation, and I hope she inspired you the way she inspired me, because I might pick up a camera soon. You never know. Don't quote me on that. If you want to know more about Brittany or see any of the amazing things that she does, from her beauty videos to her planner videos and her planner Insta, make sure you check the show notes. Make sure you like, share, and subscribe, and leave a review wherever you enjoy your podcast. Until next time, I'm here to talk if you're here to listen.